Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Welcome. My sister warned me that if we were going to use that shot, I better get the cowlicks out of my ponytail. So
cowlicks? I thought only guys have cowlicks.
No, cowlicks are mostly for girls.
Really?
Cowlicks, I guess.
I grew up with a cowlick. See, in the back of my head, like, I've got this, like, swirly.
It's mostly, I think a cowlick is when you pull your hair back and you have one in your hair pulled back. So, anyway.
I grew up with calicos.
Calico.
Oh, I dated a girl named Calic Lewis.
Calic.
Okay. Thanks for that. We should let you know, just in case you don't understand our snark or our intimacy, we are married. Mm-hmm. So sometimes that comes off. For instance, yesterday I mentioned how Clayton was giving me the stink eye when he caught me just typing, because he doesn't like, you would never do that, right? If you weren't married to your co-anchor, you wouldn't be like, what are you doing? Knock it off.
I did.
No, you never did. Like
when
this.
When I was
rewind the tape.
That's true. You are true. But when I was at anchor with like Allison Camerata, we had that sort of familiar.
Not like this.
She's
okay.
Like, what are you doing? We would call each other out.
And also, our two control room masters are brothers. So guys don't really get into sibling rivalry as much as I wish you would.
Yeah, that's David.
We do.
Yeah. There's David.
Yeah, we do. We just don't do it on camera.
You should hear the pre-show because there's a lot of back and forth. It's pretty good. Good needling going on between the brothers. Also, Grim is here. He's our graphics creator extraordinaire. He is in our chat room. Kevin is also floating around somewhere. So we've got a whole team here. So welcome, welcome, welcome. Before we jump into today's stories, I want to tell you about our community and our newsletter. If you'd like to take the conversations we have on this show even deeper, and you don't have to worry about censorship, we have a website. If you go to redacted.inc, please sign up. It's free. And then if you want to become a channel supporter there, you can as well. They have different paid tiers. So if you'd like, for the price of a cup of coffee once a month, David, what is it, like $4 or something like that? Or
yeah, the minimum is $4 a month, but you can go $4 on up to whatever you can afford. And the reason we do it that way is because if you're somebody who's not really hurting right now, like a lot of people are, you can pay a little bit more, and that helps us be able to keep the lower price for people who can't really afford it right now. And then you don't have to pay. Actually, you can participate in the free posts for free, and then any of the membership members-only posts, you can't. You can still like them, but you can't see them or whatever. So,
okay, and Mike Sinatra, I believe, asks, do they read Super Chats? We intend to today. We're sorry we missed them yesterday. The show got long. But yes, we do normally read Super Chats after the last story. So we're going to do 4 stories today, and then you're on with your
yes.
Super Chats.
So get any Super Chat questions you have in now about anything geopolitically, financially, whatever is on your mind, please fire them away. We are happy to answer them. Don't forget those Super Chats so we get those in a little bit later. We also
Can't we just delete eBlock from the document?
Yeah,
there's no eBlock.
What are you talking about? We don't talk about eBlock, David. That's the first rule of Redacted.
The backstory of that is that Clayton is always trying to add stories to our rundown, and I'm like, enough! It gets too long, and then I want to kill him at the end of the show because I'm restless.
Yes.
So the joke is he tries to add an e-block, and I add in our shared document in all caps, there's no e-block.
So the e-block is Super Chats today. But hey, you never know when there's going to be an e-block that'll sneak its way into the show.
We don't talk about e-block.
But I should mention we have a daily newsletter that's about to be rebranded, rebuilt, but we have hundreds of thousands of subscribers, and we write it every morning, so you get it over your cup of coffee first thing in the morning. We try to add some humor, but we cover about 4 or 5 big stories. We covered Sri Lanka this morning. We covered a couple of other big stories in there. Uber we covered as well. Mm-hmm. Some different details there. So please subscribe. It's free. It's delivered to your inbox first thing in the morning. And it still has the old URL, our old URL, morninginvest.com. But David is working on the new website. So that should be up very, very soon. But it's morninginvest.com. Go there and sign up. Again, it's free. And that will all be changing very, very soon. So
Well, in tomorrow's newsletter, you will hear about the new economic numbers that are due out any minute now, right? Within the next
day.
Yes. We're going to get inflationary numbers. We're going to get jobs numbers. It's going to, and we've been warned already that those numbers are not going to be cheery, right? But we already knew that.
Yeah. So Mike Sinatra asks a super chat before we even started, and I will even answer it before the show. Mike says, what are you guys doing to prepare for the madness? Well, look, we've been canning food.
Yes.
Sister-in-law, brother-in-law have been canning just a ton of green beans over the past few days. What else have we?
We have an electric car. We have chickens.
Chickens. Just bought
some
chickens. We
have solar panels to charge our car and to also continue to run our electricity. So this is some. This is a project we've been on for a long time. My sister just got one of those really industrial-sized Berkey water filters. So that you can make sure that you have drinkable water. So these are things that we think about a lot. Yesterday, after all the, you know, depressing stories about global politics, we had a conversation here on the show about how it's appropriate inside your family to talk about what are our plans to not be dependent on things that we can get at the grocery store, right? And so that's a great question. Thank you so much for asking it.
And Alex in our chat says, please get to the topics. Well, thank you, Alex.
This is part of the topic.
This is part of the topics.
Is that eggs cost a lot for people who don't have chickens.
This is where I get a little pissed, too, because, all right, we work on a show for 8
hours
a day.
Are you not?
What's that?
Are you not entertained?
Entertained.
Right.
Are you not entertained?
Yeah.
I hope you don't pay too much for this free show that we spend all day building for you.
Well, hey, what we're going to talk about right now is how sanctions of Russia are harming pretty much every economy that is taking part in said sanctions, right?
Yeah.
And so I want to wager that most people watching this show are participating from some sort of Western economy that is involved in these types of sanctions, and we are the ones who are harmed by that, right? And so as we talk about what the news is, what the politicians are doing, it is relevant what we the people do in response.
That's right. So let's talk about what Vladimir Putin just said last night in a speech, and it's incredibly relevant. You know, when Russian President Vladimir Putin often says exactly what he means. He doesn't often mince words. He kind of comes out and tells you exactly what he's thinking. He tells you exactly what his plan is. And then when people don't believe him, like, they're shocked. They're like, wait a second, didn't he actually say that a few weeks ago? He actually said what he meant. So he came forward with this and said that there's trouble for the West. Big trouble if you live in one of these Western economies right now. Here is what he said on Western hegemony. Listen.
Они должны были бы понять, что уже проиграли с самого начала нашей специальной военной операции, потому что ее начало означает и начало кардинального слома миропорядка по-американски. Это начало перехода от либерально-глобалистского американского эгоцентризма к действительно многополярному миру. Миру, основанному не на придуманных кем-то для себя эгоистических правилах, за которыми нет ничего, кроме как стремления к гегемонии. Не на лицемерных двойных стандартах, а на международном праве, на подлинном суверенитете народов и цивилизаций, на их воле жить своей исторической судьбой, своими ценностями и традициями. И выстраивать сотрудничество на основе демократии, справедливости и равноправия. И надо понимать, что этот процесс остановить уже невозможно.
This process can't be stopped. And he says it right there, that look, Western powers should be concerned, right? That they knew ahead of time that this was, this was going to be a disaster. And they continued pushing this plan. And it's led to absolute economic disaster for the West.
He speaks about a multipolarity of government, right? And mm-hmm. we have seen that happen, whereas the West is shocked, I say, that certain countries are not willing to go along with their plan on sanctioning Russia. He says in this speech, I see that the West is, you know, participating in these sanctions that are hurting them, which we told you would happen in February, March when they began. But there are plenty of countries that are not, right? That will thrive as a result of not having this pain point. Syria, India, China, And these are the poles that he's talking about, multipolarity. And that's a scary concept to think about, just exactly how clearly cut the globe will be sectioned.
And so he says, I mean, these Western oligarchs have been telling us exactly what they intend to do, right? And Putin's kind of making fun of them in that part of this speech. He says, we're going to take away your land, right? World Economic Forum, we're going to take away your land. We're going to eliminate fossil fuels, creating an energy crisis, which is what they did. We're going to create a digital currency so we can track every transaction you make. We want to get away from paper currency, coins, et cetera. We want to track everything in a centralized bank. That's what the World Health Organization has said to us, right? That in the next pandemic, whenever that is, and President Biden just the other day says we need to prepare for the next pandemic. So they're already planning it. And then the news over the past 24 hours that we don't have a handle on monkeypox was on the front page of the New York Times. Okay, so it's coming. Whenever the next pandemic will come, the World Health Organization has told us they will take control of our currency. They will consolidate it under one globalist central bank structure. And so there won't be a U.S. dollar to worry about. There won't be a euro to worry about. There'll be a central currency that they'll all be able to track. And the White House told us the pain that you're feeling right now is all part of the plan towards the liberal world order. This is all part of the plan. Listen.
Well, what do you say to those families who say, listen, we can't afford to pay $4.85 a gallon for months, if not years. This is just not sustainable.
This is about the future of the liberal world order, and we have to stand firm.
Yeah, so this is part of the plan. This is, again,
these
you're
are
feel
our
the
values.
Pain.
Whether you didn't know that, oh, it is. It's your value.
It's your pain. This pain, guys, this is this shared, like we're this shared pain that we all have, right? This is, you all need to suffer because this is all part of this liberal world order. And it's not just the White House. I mean, it is the World Economic Forum, it is the European Union, it is Canada, it is all consolidating around this idea and this plan. And if you think it's a conspiracy theory, you're nuts, actually. You're the crazy one, you know? The World Economic Forum actually said as much. This is what the World Economic Forum said, that the pain is worth it. Listen.
We need to accept that there will be some pain in the process. The pace that we need will open up for missteps. It will open up for shortages on energy. It will create inflationary pressures, and maybe we need to start talking about that pain is actually worth it.
I'd be okay with that, right?
Like, I do understand that the world is at an inflection point and that we will need to sort of change our way of living eventually, not dependent on single-use items and that kind of thing. I'm fine with some kind of, like, painful change, but not if it's only small people, small business, individuals experience these pains, but big business is doing fine.
Well,
it's not a collective decision, right?
Let's unpack this a little bit. I get what you're saying. And I think, you know, we go to great lengths in this family to not use, like, the single-use plastics and all of that, right? We're trying to be aware of the environment. We, you know, go scuba diving or whatever, and you see, like, bottles floating there, destroying reefs. Like, that's the stuff you don't want, right? You don't want to be...
Sure, right.
You don't want to see, it, like, you see in sub-Saharan Africa communities that are absolutely destroyed. They're literally sitting in filth because of the oil companies that have destroyed their way of living. So they're sitting there breathing in all these toxic chemicals because these oil companies run the show. I get it. But so how do you, like, what pain are you prepared to experience because some government, are you saying that you're okay with it if a government tells you that
No, the thing, right? If there is some kind of, like, the mindset during the coronavirus pandemic was we all need to stay home. We bought into this idea, right, that there would be pain for all of us, and it was for a purpose.
Like a war, like World War II.
Right.
Right, we're going to sugar ration.
But what ended up happening was it was only painful for individuals and small businesses and not for big corporations. It ended up being pretty great for
pretty
most
profitable
corporations, right? And so that is an important lesson, especially for anyone who is like-minded, who during the pandemic thought it was a selfless thing to do, to stay home and, you know, in your house nonstop for months on end, like, we're doing the right thing. We bought into this collective mindset. And then in the end, what did we do it for? When small businesses and individuals were harmed,
right.
Children were harmed. We harmed children for no reason,
right?
Right? And then big businesses did just fine.
Yeah, small businesses, hundreds of, David, what was the stat? Like, how many small businesses went out of business because of the pandemic? And
by the end, it was up around 200,000.
In the U.S.
Small businesses.
Yeah, just in the U.S.
U.S., yes.
And think of what it cost our children.
We're talking like
right?
It's past tense, and it's not. It's still going on. Like, it's not past tense.
Yeah, you're right about that. I mean, in fact, I viewers have connected with me on Twitter that talk about still, like, there's mandates in Chicago and parts of, like, there's still things happening in the United States to hurt small businesses and mandates that are not affecting big businesses.
Yeah, they still have medications. Like, they're still working on medications for the next ninja round or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Right.
But
this is not about the pharmaceuticals, though. What we're talking about is this pain point, right, that we have sort of learned that governments can tell us that this collective mindset is what we all need to get through something. And I think most of us feel like, no, you already got us on the pandemic. We did what we thought was right, and we got burned there. And now we're sort of taking on this pain for your war, and we don't want to do that again.
Well, Vladimir Putin went on to say that he spoke specifically on the energy crisis issue. And he said, this is all Western made. Like, the more that you place these sanctions on Russia or Russian affiliates in Russia itself, you're crushing the Western energy sector. And so there are going to be people that are going to be sick and cold and not have access to heating oil throughout the year. Thanks to these sanctions. Listen to what Putin had to say about Western sanctions.
Да, ми знаємо, європейці пытаются замістити російські енергоресурси. Однако результат таких действий ожидаем. Это рост цен на газ на спотовом рынке и увеличение стоимости энергоресурсов для конечных потребителей, в том числе для домохозяйств. Все это еще раз показывает, что санкционные ограничения в отношении России гораздо больший ущерб наносят именно тем странам, которые их и вводят. Дальнейшее использование санкционной политики может привести к еще более тяжелым, без преувеличения, даже катастрофическим последствиям на мировом энергетическом рынке.
That's exactly what's happened, right?
Yes. I mean, look at the euro, right, which has been strong historically against the dollar. And now it almost has a cent-to-cent parity to the U.S. dollar, right?
Yeah, the euro this morning hit a 20-year low. 20-year low. So typically, historically, if you looked at the euro and you looked at, it was worth about, 1 euro was worth about, 80 cents of a dollar?
Yes.
No, do I have that backwards?
No, you're about right. It's about $1 or 1.31 euro is... I'm getting this backwards.
But yeah, so you could spend 80. Yeah, anyway, the euro is way stronger, bottom line, until now. So now euro is at a 20-year low. Also, we saw that the Nord Stream 1, which is the oil pipeline flowing from Russia down into Germany, is going into a maintenance mode now for 10 days. While Russia, the question this morning is, or this afternoon is, will Russia even turn it back on? So there, and that could affect Germany tremendously.
I mean, this is incredible pandering, right? Like, we hate you. We don't agree what you're, we're going to punish you. Please turn that back on.
Well, it's hilarious. You hit the nail right on the head. So earlier today, Vladimir Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, came out and slammed Canada. So Canada was working on the oil turbine to fix for Nord Stream. Right, they were fixing it. So the maintenance was happening in Canada for this oil pipeline. Well, Vladimir Zelensky told Trudeau, like, by putting this pipeline back in place, Russia to Germany, that's a sign of weakness. You are weak if you do that. And Canada has said, well, this is an exemption to the sanctions. So it's like this one little carve out is an exemption. We're going to sanction you, but because it affects us, we're going to have this little carve-out sanction exemption where we will then be able to put this turbine back in place for Nord Stream 1, let the oil back to flow in Germany, and we're all good.
Mm.
The White House, though, came out specifically to talk about food prices, and tomorrow is the big day. So tomorrow, inflation numbers are coming out. We're going to see this new CPI number, the Consumer Price Index. We're going to see what this looks like for American consumers in the United States specifically. The White House is saying it's going to be bad. So they're giving us a preemptive attack here. They're letting us know that, stuff's about to hit the fan. Watch.
So on Wednesday, we will have new CPI inflation data, and we expect the headline number, which includes gas and food, to be highly elevated, mainly because gas prices were so elevated in June. Gas and food prices continue to be heavily impacted by the war in Ukraine.
So she had a big chart up there showing that some of the gas prices in the United States have started to moderate a bit, started to come down a little
yes.
bit. That doesn't answer the fact, though, that why the hell is President Biden flying to Saudi Arabia to beg Saudis for more oil when we can't get drilling rights done in the United States? So actually, CNBC was specifically asked about that. CNBC specifically called out the BS on Putin's price hike with Hakeem Jeffries. He's a congressman who's been carrying the water for President Biden on this question. Like, why aren't we drilling more in the United States? Like, why aren't we expanding what we already have here? And instead, we're going to Saudi Arabia to beg them. We've also sold off our strategic oil reserves to China. Does that make any sense at all?
We sold five million barrels to
China,
to a company that Hunter Biden is actually part of, on the board of.
Yeah, so isn't that amazing? Like, and we're going to get to Hunter Biden in a minute, like those connections. But taking oil from our strategic reserves, selling it to China instead of using it in the United States.
And China has free access to Russian oil at a good price right now because they're not getting involved in the sanctions at all.
Right.
So, okay. Does that make sense?
We'll take your oil. So CNBC pressed Hakeem
Jeffries. Well,
that's
why I don't feel like it was a...
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, that's why I don't feel like it really had anything to do with them actually needing oil when you get to that Hunter Biden story.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Well, let's see what Hakeem Jeffries has to say about this. He couldn't really answer this question, and surprisingly, CNBC actually pushed him on this. Listen.
In this country, we're still down from peak production. You don't think there's anything that you can do in Congress or to convince the Biden administration? You don't think there's any regulations that need to be eased? You don't think there's any offshore activity, ANWR, Keystone, trying to get rid of some of the red tape for refineries? You don't think there's anything, you don't take any responsibility? It's just all a Putin price hike. That's what I meant about breaking ranks. I think Ro Khanna finally did say, you're headed to Saudi Arabia, And domestically, we're not producing as much as we could here.
Yeah, part of the challenge domestically in terms of production is that the oil and gas companies have refused to actually act on the permits to drill that they currently have available to them.
That's kind of a red herring, Congressman. There's leases. There's also just the overall pressure from ESG and the green lobby about whether an oil company is going to make plans 5 or 10 years down the road. When, you know, a large part of the population wants to put them out of business completely. So would you invest hard-earned capital on a five-year project or a 10-year project now if you were a fossil fuel company?
Yeah, I mean, it's not clear to me that the oil and gas companies really care that much about the so-called green lobby. They have made clear in their earnings calls and in their representations to shareholders that they do care about the record profits that they've been making on the backs of increased gas prices for the American people.
Well, they're not making what they made 10 years ago. So their records based on.
So there you go. But again, more lies, more spin, right?
There's a lot to unpack there. I don't know exactly where I want to start.
Well, I mean, let's there's a lot there. But again, this Putin price hike has never caught on, right? It was from the moment they rolled this garbage out, it never caught on. And Americans saw right through it. And that probably is reflected in Joe Biden's poll numbers, which are at historic lows right now. The lowest.
Well, and it's like you can't, if you go to the graph, it's like people don't look at that graph that the prices were already like going like this before anything even happened in Ukraine. So it's like, you don't have to be a very intelligent person to look at a graph and see that that's a lie.
Right. Well, that's what Douglas Murray said. He's the author of the book, The War on the West. And he said that this Putin price hike story has been garbage from the beginning. Take a listen.
You know, the whole issue of the last 6 months of the period since Putin invaded Ukraine is that the Biden administration has tried to put every single thing that has happened on President Putin, on the invasion. And the problem with this is several fold. One of them is, of course, the American people don't buy it. We know that we had energy problems from the beginning of this administration. We know that President Biden shut down the pipeline. We know that he seems very keen to sort of go as green as possible in the US while sending up, having to go around the world begging other people to provide us with oil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, going around the world, so going, he's going to Saudi Arabia to beg for this. And
when Saudi Arabia has already said no, right? He already, the president has made requests for Saudi Arabia to drill and export more. They've said no because they don't want to mess with their profit margin right now. They will not go to, through OPEC. And, you know, at this point, Saudi Arabia is not taking the president's calls any longer. So he's going to show up there.
He's just going to fly in.
Yeah.
See how that works. It's like a scorned boyfriend or something.
I drove all night.
Right. I'm coming to your house.
To get
Crown
to
Prince.
You.
I'm going to pop up at...
Just don't ride your bicycle there.
Right.
I just don't know which house. I'm going to go to the one on the golf course or the one with the gold toilets over here. I don't know. It's hard to say. It's just unbelievable. It really is unbelievable. So again, Vladimir Putin calling it out, issuing a warning to the West, and he's absolutely right about it. And then the liberal world order that is unfolding, you're expected to feel additional pain. Let us know in the comments below. Make sure you're subscribed to the channel. And please, please, please smash that like button. We've got a lot more stories we're going to get to here on the show. So we're going to talk about, up next, we're going to talk about the breaking news, the updates this afternoon on the Hunter Biden laptop story. We're going to get there in just a moment. Some really startling details about the connections in China as well. We'll talk about that. We are also going to talk about, can you throw the rundown up on the screen? Because I don't have it in front of me.
Hunter Biden, we're going to talk about Uber paying academics to put out research that's favorable to them, plus the latest dictator move from Justin Trudeau's administration. That's it's right. Not a dick move, it's a dictator move.
Did you ever have those dictators around the campfire?
Dictator. Mm-hmm.
Dictators and dictators.
I had baked
and
potato. Those are baked potatoes.
Oh, okay.
Oh. All right.
Not dictators. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at Gold Co. My fellow Americans, if you have an IRA, you have a 401k or a savings account, things are scary out there right now. Someone asked earlier, like, hey, what are you guys doing to prepare right now? Well, one big piece of that is making sure that our money is not in U.S.-backed dollars or, you know, fake government currencies. It is in actual resources like gold and silver. The Biden administration has already printed more money in the past 2 years than the previous 100 years combined. The national debt hit a record $30 trillion, and inflation is the highest since 1982. It's only a matter of time before the House of Cards comes crashing down. If you have retirement savings, your money could be at serious risk. Talk to my friends over at Gold Co. to see how they can protect your retirement with gold and silver before it is too late. So on the screen, they have a special URL just for our viewers. Go to redactedlikesgold.com if you're in the United States. Redactedlikesgold.com if you're in the United States. Redactedlikesgold.com is the website. They're going to give you up to $10,000 in free silver when you open a qualifying account with them. So go over to redactedlikesgold.com. Our thanks to Gold Co., an amazing company, going to give you $10,000 in free silver when you open a qualifying account. So our thanks to them. All right.
Well, the Daily Mail has published more exposés from Hunter Biden's laptop, more details about what the president's son has been up to in recent years. And the story is salacious, I warn you. It has a lot of an ick factor. It's not just that, you know, this person is an addict and has some sort of self-destructing behavior. It is also exposing how far the president of the United States has gone to cover up for his son and perhaps to cover up some business dealings that made its way full circle to the president.
Yeah, so for some context here, like how did we get to this leak? Well, Washington Examiner explains it well with this cover story. The leak came from a tech guy in New Zealand that had a copy of the 28 gigabyte hard drive, okay? This tech guy, I don't know how he got it, managed to get it and then uploaded its contents to 4chan, the website, right? Then 4chan starts going through it and then users start posting it on torrent websites as well. So then once it goes on a torrent website, it's much the same way that, you know, Napster and other things used to run back in the day. But torrents then live on different servers around the world on whoever wants to host it, right? We could literally post it on our computer if we felt like it, but we're not.
We don't.
We don't, and we're not. And now it's impossible to put that genie back in the bottle. Like, if you were hope, if like the Biden administration was hoping that, hey, only four people had this laptop and contents of it, forget it. Now it's all out there. It's all out there, and it's going to be, you know, it's going to be absolutely destructive for the Biden administration, and we could see the destructive behavior of Hunter Biden. One of the videos that has now been released on 4chan, pulled from this website, is of Hunter Biden weighing some crack. So this is the one that started to come out today. So here's a video of him. We'll just play a little bit of it. Here he is. And he likes to film himself doing these things.
You know, I just weighed out the bag.
I mean, he could be very fond of crystals.
Yeah, but that's not, that's crack cocaine. So he takes his shirt off and he likes to film himself, like, and so he's weighing crack cocaine with a girl that it's in his room at the time. This is just like one of many, right,
it's just,
videos.
It's so brazen, you know, when you're doing kind of illicit things to continue to film them.
Yeah, I would think so. So let me just, I want to kind of go back a little bit here, and I want to put up this, I think a good way to frame this is sort of how you started this, but also I need a little bit further push here from Glenn Greenwald. And he lays it out. Glenn Greenwald, of course, the Pulitzer Prize.
The person who exposed the Snowden documents.
Yes, Pulitzer Prize winning journalist. Amazing journalist. He laid this out this. He puts it up. He says, materials from Hunter Biden's laptop about his and his father's pursuits of business deals in China, Ukraine, and elsewhere are highly relevant. That's why pre-election CIA lies and big tech censorship were so grave. Materials about his drug use and sex life, absent more, are not. Then he says, same obviously goes for his phone. Interest in Hunter Biden's private life regarding sex and drugs seems nothing more prurient and tawdry to me. Adult consensual behavior is almost never newsworthy. And I think that's a good way to frame it, right?
Okay.
So forget his, yeah, his, you know, his drug use, and yes, he's a crackhead, and yes, he's has addiction problems.
I don't want to use that term, crackhead. He is an addict.
Okay,
he has...
You don't have to use that term, but politicians can use that term.
Sure.
And by the way, President or Hunter Biden's father used those terms when he was pushing for the crime bill back in 1991, 1992, 1993. So here is Senator Biden back in 1991. Condemning the use of crack cocaine and why we should put these people behind bars for many, many years. Watch.
If you have a piece of crack cocaine no bigger than this quarter that I'm holding in my hand, $0.0025, we passed a law through the leadership of Senator Thurman and myself and others, a law that says if you're caught with that, you go to jail for 5 years. You get no probation, you get nothing other than 5 years in jail. Judge doesn't have a choice.
So, you know, these are, and of course he went on to talk about predators on the streets and the, and
right,
obviously cracking down on these people on the streets, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But the videos there of him, you know, so you have Hunter Biden on these videos waving around his 9mm gun. Illegal gun, by the way, right? So it's okay for some. Again, to me, a lot of the story is the double standard. It's the hypocrisy.
Well, it's more than that, right? There's also sort of, there's fraud involved in money, right? And so images were posted of checks that he wrote to women who offered sexual services, right? I think what they put on their website is they offered like companion services and double companion services. But if you look at the check, he used his personal Wells Fargo account, and he wrote on their Blue Water Wellness, which was some wellness company that he used in some of his rehabilitation efforts. But the women involved had nothing to do with that wellness. So he was sort of passing this off as a medical expense so that it could be taxed, either a taxable deduction or something along those lines, right? So for most people, when they have to pay for, if they choose to, escort services, that should not be a taxable deduction, right?
No, and they were trying to get hit. Yeah, so, and then by the way, some of these checks bounced. Like
Some of them bounced. Also, they were flagged by JPMorgan Chase with a SAR report or a suspicious activity report, right? Now some say this group was from a Ukrainian group that has been linked to human trafficking rings that use underage girls. So, of course, those are important pieces, right? That we would hope the president of the United States would be against those things, whether or not they were in the past of a family member that is an addict, right? We can offer some empathy while at the same time say we all should be against this, right?
Yeah. Well, of course it should be flagged.
Well, and I saw some of the video. I saw some of the videos, like they had like a compilation video that they put out, and a lot of the girls in the video, if they were 18, I'd be shocked. Like, they did not even look like they were close to 18
years
old.
Well, that's the heart of the matter here, right? So let's put up a... This is him with a couple of these escorts. This is...
The one where the faces are blurred.
Yeah, the girls' faces are blurred. He's sitting there just taking photos. That he would do this with these women, and he would put them on Amtrak trains from New York City and send them down to where he was, right? And so, and the real question is, it coming across state lines, right? So you have these different task forces. So here, put that this is an e-ticket up on the screen. This is an Amtrak e-ticket where, you know, the girls are asking, like, okay, well, did you get the train ticket? And he's sending them the train tickets via email. And he's like, how much more do I need? Okay, $3,000, $5,000. Come on down. Come on down.
Now, there's also a chain of text messages in which he is negotiating the price up until certain hours where the girls are telling him you can get this service until 9 a.m. And he's negotiating an extra few hours to get the services till noon, which sounds really exhausting. And he is saying, no, I already paid $5,000. And some of the texts and some of the other documents show that his father has already transferred him $5,000. And then a few minutes later, he is negotiating with this block of $5,000. So this is relevant because, again, the president has always said he doesn't really do business with his son. He doesn't know much about his son's business, right? So we'll take this sort of behavior issue aside and then talk about what else is there, which is a voicemail from President Biden to his son in 2018. We're going to play it for you. Last night, Tucker Carlson's show released a transcript, and so we'll play you that.
Okay. Yeah, but before we do that, though, I mean, we're going to get there in a second. But I want to say, like, on this crossing state lines thing, we have a soundbite here from him, President Biden, 1993, that I wanted to get to. Because the crossing state lines, the use of, like, underage women, drug use, waving a gun around, all of the things that President, then-Senator Biden in 1993 stood on the Senate floor and talked about, these are people we need to get off the streets. These, and by the way, I don't even care, he said, about rehabilitation. Like, maybe they get rehabbed, I don't care. We got to get these people off the streets. They are predators, as plain as day predators. Take a listen.
They are beyond the pale, many of those people. Beyond the pale. And it's a sad commentary on society. We have no choice but to take them out of society. And the truth is, we don't very well know how to rehabilitate them at that point. That's the sad truth.
Yeah. Okay, but I do want to offer this. At this point, when he's speaking, his son was, what, 18, 19, right? And maybe he couldn't see far enough into the future to have empathy for someone who is truly troubled enough to do things like this. So can we give him a pass because at the time he had no experience with this? I just want to open that up and leave space for it.
Yeah, of course. I mean, empathy is always a good thing, right? Empathy is always important.
Right. So you can say whatever you want. A lot of us do, right? Say blowhard things about things that we have never experienced. And then can we maybe leave space for him to feel differently now, 30 years later?
Then why doesn't he fight to overturn that legislation that he created out of it, the crime bill?
I mean, this is the ultimate question, right? This is the, you know, the critics of it, of course, led to mass incarceration, right? Mass incarceration across the United States of people of lower means, right?
Yeah.
And it's led to a disproportionate level of mass incarceration across the United States of people of lower means. So yes, so you're running on the progressive ticket as a Democrat, and this was one of the things that he was challenged on, but not enough. You know, people, it was swept under the rug during the campaign. It wasn't talked about enough. News anchors didn't really ask him about it. It only got brought up tangentially during some of the debates, right?
All right, the chat room saying no pass. Not at all. And I get that, right? We can all feel a certain
and
way.
And I totally would.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I totally would 100% be on board with you, but it's like actions speak louder than words. If you actually did become empathetic to that, then he's had a lot of time, because Hunter Biden has had this problem for quite some time, that he could have been like, you know what, I was wrong, and admitted it on the campaign trail that I'm going to overturn that, but he hasn't said a single word about it. He's actually still, in his discussions, proud of the bill he created.
Yeah, and also, so Natalie brought up this voicemail from 2018, where, you know, he'd been asked repeatedly about this. So let's go back, because President Biden had been asked repeatedly back over the years, lying about business. You know, do you have any recollection? Have you talked to your son about business dealings in China? Have you done any of this? Have you talked to him about his businesses in Ukraine, et cetera, et cetera? And here's what President Biden said repeatedly. Listen.
Mr. Vice President, how many times have you ever spoken to your son about his overseas business dealings?
I've never spoken to my son about his overseas business dealings. I have never discussed with my son or my brother or anyone else anything having to do with their businesses, period.
Period. Never.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let's play the voicemail then. That is President Biden leaving a voicemail for his son. And it starts out very much like those of us who have elderly parents. They do exactly this, like, hey, it's dad, it's Wednesday at 5 p.m., right? Mm-hmm. It's very, like, it pulls at your heart because you realize how much sincerity there is, but he is clearly indicating that he knows of his son's overseas business dealings. So let's play it, and we'll explain it
to you. A voicemail from Joe Biden to his son talking about a story in the New York Times about Hunter Biden's business dealings in China. Here's part of it.
Hey, pal, it's Dad. It's 8:15 on Wednesday night. If you get a chance, give me a call. Nothing urgent. Just want to talk to you. I thought the article, at least the thing on online, it's going to be printed tomorrow in the Times, was good. I think you're clear. And anyway, if you get a chance, give me a call. I love you.
So that's December 2018.
Now, the voicemail, the Times article in question was specifically about a business deal in China, right?
Right.
And so the president is saying that I know about this business deal. I see the way the Times covered it. I think you're in the clear. We're fine. We don't have to worry about negative media coverage. There's something there that's not discussed, right? Something that would mean they weren't in the clear, right? It's a heartbreaking voicemail. I find it like... Because it's so...
Yeah, and I think this speaks to, you know, and I know you've interviewed President Biden. There's a lot of people I've, you know, been close with who I've been friends with, you know, then-Senator Biden, you know, even on the Republican side, who always spoke highly of him. And it was always like, you know, you leave the family stuff aside, right? You just don't, you don't talk about the Chelsea Clinton stuff. You don't talk about Hunter Biden. You don't talk about Sasha and Malia. You just leave the president's kids alone, right? But when it speaks to corruption and it speaks to using political power to curry favor with foreign leaders for monetary gain at the expense of the American taxpayer, that's when it crosses the line. That's when, hey, the photos of him naked and all that becomes part of the broader story. The bigger story is his relationship with these Chinese state-run companies.
Yes.
And these Ukrainian companies. And how in the world are they getting free passes for certain things? Why is China getting free passes on certain things? Why is Ukraine getting billions of dollars in unaccounted for money?
Right.
When you have relationships with Hunter Biden, Joe Biden.
When Trump allies are being punished for foreign reporting laws, right, or violating foreign reporting laws, right, going to jail for these types of things, why is Hunter Biden not being scrutinized in the same way, right? These
right.
seem to be clear violations of... What is it called? The FARA Act, reporting, something along those lines. So clearly these are things, right, that these are not the rules for the rest of us. And we should have a clear understanding of whether or not favor with the president is up for sale through his heirs.
Yeah. And I think the hypocrisy.
And did it say in the voice message that there's an article coming out tomorrow as if he had foreknowledge of an article, or did he say the article that already came out? I didn't quite catch that, because if he had foreknowledge of it coming out, then that would mean he had some editorial say in it or what?
that he knew that the online version was about be released. So I don't know if it had been released at the time. It's unclear. We don't know, and the White House won't tell us, of course, when was the online version of the article released. Did they have awareness of it ahead of time? We do know that the New York Times sends articles to politicians and people ahead of time for review. That has come out. We absolutely know that that's the truth. So it could have very well been that the vice president got his hands on this article ahead of time about his business dealings. But it speaks to the heart of it. He's lying here because he was asked repeatedly on the campaign trail, did you ever talk to your son mm-hmm. about his business dealings? Did you know about it? Were you talking with him about it?
And we spoke about this not too long ago when there was Excel documents released from an email where Hunter Biden's assistant was sort of negotiating bills come due and saying his father's going to pay these. And here's a list, right? We talked about this. Here's a list of what still is outstanding. And some of these monies incoming and outgoing seemed very suspicious and also indicated clearly that Joe Biden had a hand in them, right?
Yeah.
Even the ones that had involvements with foreign governments.
And we should be clear. I interviewed Joe Biden. I was a Philadelphia news anchor many, many years ago. I interviewed him many, many years ago before any of this. Contextually speaking, it didn't make sense for me to ask about his crackhead son like 20 years ago, 15 years ago or whatever. So just to be clear on the timeline there, this wasn't like I interviewed him last week and just failed to ask him about Hunter Biden, by the way. Just to be clear on timeline, because I saw someone asking in the chat about that.
Saying, why didn't you ask him?
Yeah, why didn't you ask him about his crackhead son? It's like, well, we were talking about Pennsylvania politics, and it was many, many moons ago, so it had nothing to do with that. Nevertheless, so the phone call, right? So the phone call we played, that was in 2018. Then Peter Doocy asked Jean-Pierre, the White House press secretary, about this very question, and they're just playing, kick the can down the street or whatever, hide the salami.
That's a dirty innuendo.
Oh, what?
That's not what she's doing.
She's doing something.
I do
that
all day long.
She's not answering the question. Take a listen.
Why is there a voicemail of the president talking to his son about his overseas business dealings if the president has said he's never spoken to his son about his overseas business dealings?
Well, first I'll say that what the president said stands. So if that's what the president said, that is what stands. And secondly,
about a New York Times article concerning Hunter Biden's business dealings, and he says, "I think you're clear." How is that not him talking to his son about his overseas business dealings?
We're not from this podium. I am not going to talk about alleged materials from the laptop.
So
I will.
Are you disputing the president's voice on the voicemail?
I am not going to talk about alleged materials on the laptop.
Are
it's
you
not
disputing
happening.
Then that it is not?
Peter, I refer you to his son's representative.
And by the way, he's the only one that asked that question in that room. No one's asking the questions. And it is absolutely stunning and remarkable to see like the big tech suppression of this story. I see it in YouTube videos. I see the pushing
down. It's not
down.
Even front page of the Wall Street Journal. And it's, this is a foreign corruption story.
Just, I want you to all ask yourselves, because, and I have no dog in this hunt. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I'm an independent. I think they're all corrupt, by the way.
And if I was thinking, we're so glad that we're in the midterm election cycle, because if this were a presidential cycle, we'd have this chat full of people saying, oh, you're pro-Trump.
You're
because
a pro-Trumper.
You're covering a Hunter Biden story, right? So we're neither. But it still feels unsafe to cover this story because the liberal media wants to ignore it.
So let me ask you the question then, right? Again, I have no dog in this hunt. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm an independent. If this were one of Trump's kids, like I even saw some liberal today on Twitter saying, I don't care about Hunter Biden's laptop. I want to know what's on Jared Kushner's laptop. Like, again,
Trump Jr. sniffled at a rally and all of a sudden he's on, drugs.
Yeah, but
he sniffled on the microphone.
But
we have video weighing crack cocaine. where is the absolute double standard in the mainstream media about this story?
Yeah, absolutely right. I mean, it's smart on her part.
Well,
I do like that. What do you like?
Oh, no, go ahead. Sorry. I was going to say, Philip. Jean-Pierre just basically, this is Philip, the other producer, the secret voiceover guy. Jean-Pierre basically said to Peter Doocy as he was asking that question, she's like, What the president says stands. Basically, whatever President Biden says is truth. It doesn't matter what evidence you have. If the president said it, well, then it's true. So just deal with it.
Right. And that's, he's
that's
on the
such
record
an interesting
with the
response.
Well, that's what we've heard from this White House repeatedly, right? We heard from Nick Price at the State Department saying that as well, right? When Associated Press reporters asked him specifically about proof of intelligence in Ukraine, he's like, well, I just told you. I'm like, no. What is your proof? What is your source for that intelligence? Me. I'm the proof.
Yes.
It's like Dr. Fauci saying, me, I am God.
What I just said, I said it out loud. That's proof
enough. I am science.
I am science, right?
But it's clever for her to take this line, right? From now on, I do not discuss the laptop because they had such favorable press showing, you know, alleging that it was a fake story.
Right.
Now, at least major media has admitted that the laptop is legitimate, right? But she's still going to call it alleged, so that she can put it so far away from her, because there's no answer to it. There's no legitimate answer to, I mean, if she were to speak the truth, right? You want to role play that?
Sure.
Like, what is the response?
Who am I?
To that?
Who am
You're
I
Peter
this?
Ducey.
Okay. So new phone call that just emerged showing that the president called his son and asked and talked about a New York Times article that was about to be published, and he talked about his business dealings in the article. You care to comment on that?
Yeah, so it seems that the president was involved in his son's overseas right. businesses.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
And we're sorry that we told you otherwise. Next.
Oh, yeah, literally. I don't know if she would...
What?
She would get a job. I don't know where... She'd be kicked out of there real fast, but then she might get a job on like an MSNBC almost the next afternoon, like later in the day. Wouldn't it
be
amazing?
Sorry, we believed the president, but this evidence is condemning, and I'm sorry, we're gonna have to walk that one back.
Yeah, that looks like evidence now. I guess what the president said was total garbage. So yes, next question, please. Let us know your thoughts on
this. They don't want people like that on MSNBC, though, just so you know.
Yeah, that's true.
They want the person that's doing exactly what she is doing, and what Psaki did is deny the truth.
Exactly. Yeah. So she wouldn't have a job there. Let us know your thoughts on this in the chat below. Please make sure you're subscribed and smash that like button. We've got more stories to get to here on the show. I do want to tell you about what's coming up. We're going to talk about this Uber story, which is equally crazy, perhaps. New leaked documents from Uber and really, really important story. It shows that speaks to the sad, poor people around the world who believed what Uber was selling them. We're going to play some sound bites you're not going to believe from like South Africa, some of these Uber drivers who were sold a total bill of goods from this company. And we're also going to talk about what's going on in Canada with this free speech bill, this streaming online censorship bill that is moving forward very quickly. We'll bring you the very latest on that. But first,
we'll tell you about our show sponsor over at Indeed. So one of the best things about being an entrepreneur is building a team of people who care just as much about the dream of your business as you do, and they have the skills to make it happen. If you want to find people faster, you need Indeed. Indeed is the hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed is a powerful hiring partner that can help you do it all. Find great talent faster through time-saving tools like Indeed Instant Match, assessment, and virtual interviews. With Instant Match, over 80% of employers get quality candidates whose resume on Indeed matches their job description the moment they sponsor a job, according to Indeed Data US. It even better, Indeed is the only job site where you only pay for applications that meet your must-have requirements. Because if you've ever hired before, you know that when you start to get resumes and sort through them and most of them are not relative, whoo, that's a time suck and it is dispiriting. So join the 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And Indeed doing something no other job site has done. Now with Indeed, you pay only for your quality applications that match your job description. So visit Indeed.com/redacted to start hiring right now. Just go to Indeed.com/redacted. Once again, that's Indeed.com/redacted. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So we've got a busy, busy show. We've got a lot more to get to here on the show. Please make sure that you're subscribed to the channel. How many new people are watching right now? Just let us know in the chat. If you're watching us new for the first time, whether it's on Rumble, on YouTube, on Twitch, on Facebook, on Twitter, just let us know. And please, if you will, please smash that like button. If you do that, what happens is it pushes us further out of the algorithm. We have to fight against this algorithm all the time. So please...
We're at 3,965, so we're going for 4,000. So everybody click the like button right now. Let's hit 4,000. Oh, we're going. Let's do it.
So I know people think, oh, that doesn't really matter. It actually does. When you're live, like when YouTube sees, and if you click that, it helps us get the truth out to more people. So please, please do that.
Yeah.
All right. We want to
talk
about
it. We did it. We hit 4,000.
Sweet.
Thank you so much.
Sweet. And by the way, when you subscribe, your name will pop up here on the big screen. Yeah. So Donald Densler.
Well, and also just to speak to that. To the likes, people that, you know, you guys, when we're asking for you to go to Redacted Inc. and when we're asking you to become members of the channel and stuff like that to financially support, we know a lot of you can't afford to do that. And that like button and the subscribe button helps just as much because it gets us out to other people. So we appreciate that just as much as any financial contribution.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, at the end of the day, these big tech companies, as we're going to talk about in Canada, are censoring people. You know, they are censoring content and they're doing their yeoman's best right now to hide the truth. And so when you press that like button, it actually pushes this out to further people that actually could see it.
Can we have a little chat break?
Chat break?
So the chat room, I want to ask you, because it's super hot where we are. Even it's nighttime like here, and it's like 70 degrees.
It's like swamp ass hot today right now.
It's not like swamp ass hot. It's hot. So
why are you wearing a long sleeve shirt, I guess is the real question.
You know why? Because I have a rash here, and I thought it looked kind of strange. Can you still see
so
it?
So you're wearing a turtleneck.
Yeah, but can't now I've pointed out the rash.
No one even sees it. She has like a little dry patch
of
skin.
It's like a strange, like dry patch here, rash. But now I've told you all, so I can take off the turtleneck. Take it off.
Just take the turtleneck off with just the overalls.
Just wear the coveralls.
Yeah.
But I want to know how
hot it is for you. I only have an audio bleep button. I don't have Natalie taking her shirt off button. So just so you know.
Free spirit says, live, yeah, get naked. There. Or, hey, go for it.
Yeah, I could do, I guess.
Yeah, Kimchi Noodle says, I hate swamp ass. I totally agree with you. You know, yeah. I totally agree with you. It's really, really bad.
So how hot is it for you?
Eliza says, you're making me hot just looking at you. I know, I couldn't, like, I'm dying right now. Because we're also on the top part of the building here.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, heat rises, as they tell you in third grade science class. So it is.
I'm just going to be like, by the end of the show, I'll have my sleeves.
Imspleen says, keep it civilized.
That helps.
Not by the end of the show now. Now it's by the middle of the show. So.
Maybe I could rip these off, you know, and show you my. Did you know that Natalie Portman's guns are apparently the big star of the Thor movie? So I'll just.
Not these really? Guns?
Yes. That people my are guns. Really wondering my how guns she got so buff.
Are you?
Yes.
Are you a vet, Clayton? Because them are some sick pythons.
That's right. I'm a stand-in for Chris Hemsworth in the new Thor movie. Just his arm scenes. When they have, like, when the arm holds the Thor hammer, they're like, Clayton, we need you. Get over here. Chris Hemsworth, who plays Thor, his arms are not big enough. Mm. We need Clayton's guns for
okay.
that.
Anyway.
All right, let's talk about Uber, shall we? Yeah, let's talk about Uber. So
I don't want, when you clip these up, I don't want to be looking like this. So I just want to look normal.
You're not going to get normal
now. We clip these into different segments, right? So those of you who are watching live, and sometimes like Clayton starts the segment and I'm like doing something strange, like, oh, you know, and so... If you watch these individual pieces, then I'm starting doing something weird. So, okay. Now, let me look like...
John Bappo just put an eggplant emoji in the chat.
Hmm.
That must mean he's hungry.
Maybe. Yes, eggplants that is what that means. Grow in the fall. Does it have to do with the heat?
That is definitely the literal meaning of it.
That's eggplant. That's emoji for I'm really hungry. I'm really hungry, and I want to eat right now. That's what that means. All right, let's talk about Uber, shall we? So we have a leak of more than 124,000 documents that show basically how the car sharing, car driving tech giant flouted the laws, secretly lobbied governments, exploited violence against drivers, And the list went on and on and on and on, right? This is, I mean, once you start to dive into these documents, it's disgusting.
Yes, as Uber was fighting local governments against regulations that they didn't like, Uber sort of secretly, or not so secretly, paid academics to publish research that showed that Uber is actually good for local economies. In some instances, they said that young people were making up to $20 per hour. It was providing flexibility and income for people who wouldn't otherwise have it, right? But these academic researchers and these economic models didn't cite any of the expenses that young people pay in order to become Uber drivers, such as high insurance premiums, gas prices, and more, right? So some of these research reports in question constructed a positive narrative that Uber was good for local economies as local politicians were trying to actually figure that out.
Somebody in our chat, Farha Ahmed, I'm not if I'm saying it right, says, wow, Uber is like a miniature United States. If you think about it, it really is. Like trying, basically publishing false documents, trying to say that what they're doing is good for the world.
Right. And look, this is not necessarily novel, right? We know all the times, for instance, Procter & Gamble, which makes diapers, sponsors research that says that you should wait as long as the baby is ready to potty train so that they can sell you disposable diapers up to a size 7, right?
Which and is laughable.
Having pediatricians sponsor, they sponsor pediatricians to say that you should wait whenever the baby's ready to potty train so they can continue to sell you things. You know, Danone yogurt likes to sponsor research showing that dairy is heart healthy. Coca-Cola sponsors research saying that sugar is not contraindicated for health, right? So why is this different? Maybe it's just not. It's just what corporations do is sponsor research that helps their business model.
So you're zeroing in on the research piece of this that they were spreading around, which is interesting, right? They're trying to say that this is great for people. You're going to get $20 an hour. It's going to
sure.
lift up economies. And who cares really about the taxi drivers? That's
well,
like one big piece of it.
But it is, but also that mainstream media picked it up, right, to shape the narrative even further, not just for politicians who were going to create rules, but the Financial Times picked it up and said, oh, yes, academics are saying this is a good thing. So the rest of us are thinking, oh, Uber's good for the economy without actual research that or anecdote that maybe it's not.
And so this miniature USA, I keep thinking about this because it's so true. This is what the White House does, right? For years, like under the Obama administration and particularly under the Obama administration, which was the White House press corps were literally like stenographers of the White House. The White House handed you a press release. Here's what we say. And it would be repeated almost verbatim in the Associated Press. It was reprinted in the New York Times verbatim, as without any research or separate research to clarify that data, right? Our own independent journalism to figure out if this is true or not. So the research piece of this is really interesting. But there's a whole other bevy of problems with these leaked research documents, particularly the violence piece I want to zero in on. And how this, the idea that the company knew that the violence that was happening to these Uber drivers was actually good for the company. And Travis Kalanick, the CEO at the time, was telling his employees that this was actually good, that we could capitalize on this. So The Guardian had an exclusive interview with Mark McCann, broke this story. He was the Uber lobbyist for different governments. He's speaking publicly for the first time. He sat down with The Guardian. And he talked about this Travis Kalanick piece of this and how the violence against these Uber drivers they were utilizing to drive more revenue. Watch.
Uber's former chief executive, Travis Kalanick, responded to strikes by taxi drivers by ordering a counter-protest. When company executives warned it could result in attacks on Uber drivers, Kalanick replied, "I think it's worth it. Violence guarantees success."
When Travis said, violence guarantees success, what did you think he meant by that?
I think he meant that the only way to get governments to change the rules and legalize Uber and allow Uber to grow as Uber wished would be to keep the fight, to keep the controversy burning And if that meant Uber drivers going on strike, Uber drivers doing a demo in the streets, Uber drivers blocking Barcelona, blocking Berlin, blocking Paris, then that was the way to go.
Isn't that dangerous?
Of course it's dangerous. It's also, in a way, very selfish, because he was not the guy on the street who has been threatened, who has been attacked, who has been beaten up, and in some cases, shot.
Shot. Yeah, really, really troubling. And so a lot of these people who were out there because they were sold a bill of goods, they were told they were going to make a lot of money, they were told that they were going to, you know, their lives would change, everything would change for them. They were sold a total lie. And Mark McCann said, you know, we basically sold these people a lie, and their lives were ruined because we lied to these people, these Uber drivers. Take a listen.
I think people need to look at the facts that I'm helping to expose. Certainly, I have had my grievances with Uber in the past. What I'm doing isn't easy, but I believe it's the right thing.
Do you feel partly responsible and culpable for the lives that you see drivers now living?
Yes, I do. And I am partly responsible. And that's my motivation for doing what I'm doing in being a whistleblower. Obviously, it's not an easy thing to do. But because I was there at that time. I was the one talking to governments. I was the one pushing this with the media. I was the one telling people that they should change the rules because drivers were going to benefit and people were going to get so much economic opportunity. That when that turned out not to be the case, we had actually sold people a lie. How can you have a clear conscience if you don't stand up and own it?
Stand up and own it, right? We have Ella in our chat saying news about this topic from the Netherlands. Nelly Krios, a Dutch member of the EU Commission, has lobbied for Uber amongst other Dutch politicians. Ubergate is getting very, very bad.
So a Dutch politician has lobbied, not just a lobbyist group, but they've actually hired from within elected officials. Is that what you're saying?
I think so. Yeah. And yeah. And so you can see the tentacles of this, right? And I think
And a lot of these emails that went around about Uber's tactic to not only shape policy, but shape public opinion through research showed that even when the biggest researcher that they paid off, it was a professor, Augustin Landier, from Paris. He was, you know, they said in some of the internal emails, they said, how about this guy? We'll get him to publish a paper showing how good Uber is for drivers and good for a local economy, because it was the European countries that were trying to crack down the hardest. And so they really centered around France and Germany. This guy was awarded the best French young economist of 2014, which who even knew that was a thing you could win. You have to be young to get it, I suppose. He did the paid research, but he also proposed to do his own unpaid research. And internal documents said, let's not let him do this. We don't think it's an awesome idea. We would lose editorial control. But then a senior staffer said, well, you know, we don't think there's a low risk here because we can work with Landier on framing the study and we also decide what data we share with him. So this is an academic using data that is picked from a company, from this company and trusting it and staking his academic career on it, right? So there should be consequences for academics who have done this and who have not disclosed it. A lot of the academics that Uber worked with said, well, we never said this was peer reviewed, and we did disclose that this was Uber sponsored, right? So whether or not that's true, there should be strict standards boards to look into these types of
things. Well, you think so, right? We just went through this with the pandemic, and how many of these people were on the boards of Pfizer, whether on the boards of different pharmaceutical companies that were then also writing opinion pieces and not disclosing that, or going on television and not disclosing these connections, right?
But this mindset, right, from a senior executive, we see low risk here because we can work with him on framing the study, and we decide what data we share with him, right? So this was how they worked with not just academics, but politicians. And I don't know if that's past tense. I just said worked, but do they still? We don't know.
Well, I want to get to back to this violence piece because I'm sort of stuck on this and how it affected certain drivers. We get to hear from these executives and he, you know, sounds somewhat conciliatory, right? This whistleblower, right? But at the end of the day, he's like, it's very hard what I'm doing. He's like, what I'm doing is very brave. What I'm doing is very hard. I'm coming forward. Meanwhile, he was meeting with governments all over the world. He was foisting a lie, right? He was pushing this narrative, right? So now he's the brave one, right? I don't want to give him too much credit here. But anyway, how did it affect actual drivers? Nowhere was it hurting drivers more, perhaps, than in South Africa, where drivers there often, they rent the car. They don't even own the car. They rent the car to do 20-hour shifts in Ubers, basically, 18 to 20-hour shifts a day, rented, okay? And then the commissions that they pay to Uber, and then, of course, the money that they pay to the rental car company, they make almost nothing, of course, at the end of the day. And then on top of that, add in the violence, and it's really, really troubling. This is one Uber driver in South Africa that the Washington Post interviewed that were most affected. Listen.
So as they say to me, if you don't give me 5,000 cash, we're going to burn you and we burn a car.
Who was this?
With the taxi drivers. These taxi drivers.
Yeah. Timothy was released only after the man he rents his car from paid the kidnappers the equivalent of $300.
It's not a good money because we buy expensive petrol and the Uber, you know, still taking that commission the same.
Yeah, because of this, as someone's pointing out in our chat, I won't use the word, but yes, people took their own lives because of this. This is how bad it got, right? And so these Uber executives could go into these different governments knowing that this would cause this problem, knowing that the violence was real, and exploiting it. I think that's what this show stands for, is like these are the types of things that we want to cover and bring light on, because these people who thought they could be lifted up, have a better life for themselves, being, you know, sold a bill of goods.
Yes, and then, absolutely. You know, and that's the right framing for it. But they were sold a bill of goods.
But also they go to these towns and they knew it too, like you in these documents. Uber knew it. They would go into towns that didn't allow ride sharing services, right? So they would go into these different governments and their policy was, as Mark pointed out in a separate interview that I read, where he said, yeah, we would go in there, we would ask for forgiveness later. So we would set up shop, and we would just start Ubering, right? And then suddenly when the local...
That actually happened in Austin, Texas.
Oh, really?
That happened in the United States. Yeah, they weren't allowed in Austin. They had these rules or whatever, and they went in there, and then they ended up lobbying Congress and stuff and actually then were able to get in. But they used the same tactics here that they're using over there.
Yeah, so they go because in and they set up camp.
People get so addicted to the service.
Yeah, now then they get to say, oh, mm-hmm. See, look at Natalie here. She's an Uber driver, and you're going to take away her livelihood. Now, Congress, you've got to allow us to be in this city. And so that's what they did repeatedly. That was part of their mantra, he said. These guys are scumbags. I mean, these guys are total scumbags. And they took advantage of people. And I'm glad this stuff has come out. But I don't want to give this guy, Mark McCann, too much credit for it. He had an opportunity a long time ago to do more. And he admits it. He says, I could have done a lot more. And I could have called attention to this way earlier. And I didn't. But at least he's doing it now. And that's why we're learning about it.
And we don't see... I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with giving him some credit. We rarely see lobbyists do this.
No, I'm giving him credit. I'm just saying there was a number of times in this interview where he's like, what I'm doing is really hard. What I'm doing is, so, okay, woe is me. I get it. What about the people that took their lives, whose lives are ruined because you lied to them, right? And who, you know, I get it. I get it's difficult for you in your velour suit to sit in an executive office at the Guardian and do an interview. I get that it's difficult for you.
I don't think that's a velour suit.
I don't know. Do you think that's velour? What was he wearing? Velour or...
Velour is like J-Lo's jumpers.
I don't know. Velvet?
It's like a velvet almost,
it looked
right?
Like a velvet. Was it? Like if you're wearing a velvet...
Can we go back to him and take a look?
Yeah, what do you guys think? Is this velvet? Play it. Yeah, if you can. I see it.
I think people...
Oh, no, that's...
That's corduroy.
Need to yeah, that's corduroy.
The corduroy? Facts that I'm...
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. No, look, I'm glad
like suede does have a very velour, like, kind of suede.
Okay.
Soft it could feel be to
suede. I think it's suede.
Yeah. Suede, get in your word.
I mean,
yeah, I mean, my point is, like, look.
They don't
generally
have suede corduroy.
let's give them credit. Let's give them credit. I'll stop there. But I just, you know, swimming in the lake of pain, you know, it's tough what I'm doing. It's tough what I'm doing.
Okay.
Coming forward. All right.
You're the one who doesn't like to impugn people's intentions, so let's just...
But when you say it out loud, I don't like ever to, like, if someone doesn't tell me, right, I think it's one of the worst things you can do is question someone's intentions, right?
Right, so he's saying my intentions are to right the wrongs that I've done, so we can leave it at that.
Okay,
Not for us to say why he's doing this or.
Yeah, it's like McNamara. You know, you look at some of these politicians like McNamara, who basically started Vietnam, but then when he was getting old and, you know, ready to move on to the next world or whatever you go to, he just let everything go and said exactly what happened and that it was all based on a lie. So at some point in your life, I think you, if you're a human, you start to have empathy for human life and you start to like, I don't understand how some of these politicians never get to that point where you have some kind of like realization of what you're actually doing to the people that you are supposed to be taking care of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe that's this guy's moment.
People, I'm also wearing corduroy.
People in the chat are saying, wow, that fabric thing escalated fast. It did. we get fired up about fabric. We did. We absolutely did.
David and I will be going to blows later. We'll be duking it out over this. Yep. Okay. Total fisticuffs over corduroy versus suede. If we ever get suede. Into it,
this is, yep, this is, after the show, we're on.
You want to get into it? Let's do it. All right, let's head north of the border, shall we? Shall we head north of the border and talk about our favorite dictator up there in Canada and what the Trudeau government is doing, which is doubling down on censorship? Of course, we've been following what the Trudeau government has been doing since the early part of this year as it relates to online censorship, their streaming bill, what they've done, of course, to clamp down and take away freedoms, personal freedoms of truckers in Canada, stealing, locking bank accounts, of course, forcing people to do things with their bodies that they don't want to do. The list is endless. Now, of course, they want to regulate speech. And this bill, Bill C-11, would regulate content that it doesn't like. And the man who wrote the bill is Trudeau lackey Pablo Rodriguez. Here he was introducing the bill, and he lays out exactly why this is just totally harmless, nothing to see here. Listen.
This is the first of a few pieces of legislation that are part of my mandate as Minister of Canadian Heritage, and these are online streaming, online news, and online safety. All the three work together to make the internet a fairer, more inclusive, safer, and more competitive place for Canadians.
He sounds so friendly, right? Like he's like your Canadian Santa Claus, right? I'm just going to take care
of... Is that a shark skin jacket?
Yeah, is that velvet?
Is that a cowlick? We talked earlier about what is a cowlick.
Yeah.
I think he has one.
See, that's why you got to watch the live show. If you're watching the rebroadcast, we talked about velour and fabric in
we talked about cowlicks in fabric. Your hair. Yeah.
Yeah, so he seems like he's like a nice guy, right? He seems like the Canadian Santa Claus. He just wants to protect what you see, hear and read online in Canada, right? And only if it fits by our government Trudeau administration standards, that's what you get to see, hear, and read. He said, quote, and you can take my laptop, Philip, here. This is what he said, and according to Reclaim the Net, has a good breakdown of this. He said, we made it very clear in the Online Streaming Act that this does not apply to what individual Canadians and creators post online, Rodriguez said. No users, no online creators will be regulated. Only companies themselves will have new responsibilities. However, that claim has been contradicted by the Canada Radio, Television, and Communications Commission and the Expert Advisory Group on Online Safety that he appointed. Online platforms would have to regulate based on the speech of its user, so it would affect
user-generated content.
User-generated content, exactly.
Which is what they said it would not do, right? Just control what is posted by individual users on their Facebook accounts. He is saying that this is necessary for democracy, which to me strikes at the very term of democracy, right? That a government should belong to the people and that all people's opinions are heard and expressible. But this bill now, it already passed the House and is currently sitting in the Senate. And as these things become more and more clarified, the Canadian people have the right to say, they don't like it, but it does seem that it's going to continue into legislation.
Yeah, so he now says, as he's been out there campaigning on behalf of this, as Rodriguez, he's saying that that unregulated speech erodes the foundations of democracy. That free speech apparently is somehow, as Reclaim the Net puts it, antithetical to democracy. So only regulated speech can keep democracy going strong. And of course, we've already heard this from Justin Trudeau.
That literally makes no sense.
Well, according to them, it does, because what they're saying is that hate speech and things that could like rally people to violence are going to bring down democracy, just which like is, the trucker convoy.
Right, which right? is what they labeled the truckers, who were even those that were not violent, which was most of them.
Right. Yeah, I mean, so again, so here's more in this. Let me see if I can pull this up here. Yes. Content that will be regulated includes Facebook posts, private...
Sorry, could you say that again?
Yes, I will. Thank you, Siri. Thank you.
My watch.
Thank you, Siri. I will say that again. Content that would be... even Siri would be regulated.
I wasn't touching it.
Siri would be regulated under this, right? Content that would be regulated includes Facebook posts, private Twitter DMs, Amazon listings, video games, even listings on Airbnb. Look at this. Many experts mention there is a justification to look more widely at some interactive services like Airbnb and gaming platforms, basically forums. Many experts supported the notion that private communication should be included under the scope of the legislative framework. Private messaging services should also be regulated. Oh, so if you use, I don't know, iMessage, or if you use WhatsApp or Telegram to communicate, we're going to regulate that now.
And how are they going to do that? By giving themselves more access to your communication.
Right. Yeah, we're going to look at what information is going through this. And if we deem it disinformation, is what they're saying, then this will, we see that as an affront to freedom and democracy. So we are going to clamp down on that disinformation. If you are one of the people that's a purveyor of misinformation or disinformation in Canada, we are going to watch you.
Or information we otherwise
see
don't
now.
Like.
This is scary.
Yeah.
And this is scary because, like, we just covered recently how the White House just started a task force called the Task Force for Online Harassment and Abuse. And it's basically saying the exact same thing. It's more targeting a specific group of people, but it's the same sentiment. And so this is starting to become a global thing. Like in the language of the White House, of the memorandum that Biden signed, they're saying global.
Yes.
Not this, just in the United States.
Well, when people sit there and say, oh, this whole WEF, World Economic Forum thing is a conspiracy theory, it's not. This is exactly what they talk about in these meetings.
Yeah.
So then Justin Trudeau flies into Montana. Where were they just recently? Wyoming or Montana together, all of them. They all got together, and they have these meetings, right? They have these discussions in these meetings, and then they go back to their respective countries, and they implement these things. It happens in the United States. And then, oh, suddenly Canada's doing the very same thing.
Right,
and then the Netherlands is doing the same thing.
But this is the thing that Western leaders condemn China for,
right?
Because the internet is not open in China. You absolutely cannot just Google things that the Chinese government doesn't want you to discover. You can't chat freely about things that the Chinese government doesn't like. Absolutely, that's the case. But again, Justin Trudeau has said that he likes China's sort of
Oh, he loves China.
Government.
He's a puppet
model.
Of China, basically. And, you know, maybe this is there because they see China as... Now China is becoming the global power, right?
Yeah.
So maybe this is how maybe China's got there, right? China's got there by being singularly focused and controlling and doing what they're doing, right, with across the world. And so maybe now the World Economic Forum is saying, okay, do we want to cede this land to China? Do we want to give over to this control to China? Maybe we need to do what they do, which is control our people.
And there's already a business model, or there's already sort of a internet model for this, right? So when Google went to China in the early 2010s, they realized, oh, you know, it's really hard for us to do business here because the Chinese government has such strict regulations about search results. So they closed up shop, and they were sort of salivating over all the revenue they were losing. So they went back to China 2 or 3 years later with a brand new business model that suited politicians there.
Right.
So yeah, big tech could do it. They could do it for Canada. If Canada passes this bill and tells them exactly what they want their Google to look like, big tech will do it.
Yeah, because what Google, they brought up stakes, right? They were like, oh, you know, we really stand for the people. So we're going to leave mainland China. And now what we're going to do is we're just going to go to Hong Kong.
Yes.
We're going to Hong Kong, but then we're going to go to Hong Kong, and then we're going to reconstitute ourselves back in mainland China under some different names. Hey, we're going to name our company Alphabet now. Because you didn't say Google couldn't be, you know, now we're not Google anymore, we're Alphabet. So we're all a bunch of these different companies. Our search engine is under this company, and this is under this company. And that's how
these
guys get around it.
Apple did that with that Fox company or whatever. Like with
Foxconn,
where they manufactured. Yeah. I mean, this happens. It's like they get on that, and they're like against it. But then they, you know, if there's profit to be made, then all their morals go out the window.
It's the way they roll. That's the way they roll. Yep. We're going to get to your super chats in a second here. Any super chats you have coming? I saw a bunch of good ones coming in here. Questions about Poland and a whole bunch of other stuff that we're going to look at, Russia and so forth. So we'll get there in a second. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at HelloFresh. Do you guys want to get a number of meals for free? Yeah. Get 16 free meals and 3 free gifts delivered right to your door just for signing up and trying HelloFresh. Yeah, you can do that. You can try their Firehouse Cheeseburgers, their one-pan pork carnitas tacos. When you go to HelloFresh.com/redacted16, you'll get those 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. But what's great about them is you get to choose from over 55 different weekly options that are pre-portioned, high-quality ingredients picked at peak ripeness. They deliver fresh, quality produce from the farm to your door in less than a week. And what's amazing is it's 72% cheaper than dining at a restaurant. And it's even cheaper than grocery shopping. With inflation going out of control, you can save a boatload of money by using HelloFresh versus actually going to the grocery store. The numbers are actually quite astounding. We've had viewers who've written to us who said, thank you for telling us about HelloFresh, because now we've saved a whole bunch of money on not wasting stuff at the grocery store. And now we get exactly what we want with these recipe cards. It makes it fun and easy to make meals in under 30 minutes. You get all sorts of different health options. You can do vegetarian, pescatarian options. If you want to do more of a meat-based diet, absolutely. You can do anything you want. You have a large family, a small family. And I love this little nugget. While you're traveling this summer, you can update your delivery address. So let's say you're going to an Airbnb or something. You can actually update your delivery address, and HelloFresh will send you the food at your vacation destination. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. So maybe you're staying at a house on the beach, or maybe you're whatever you're doing. I don't know.
Because you know how I feel about packing groceries when we
Oh, I know. She can't stand it.
Vacation. But
we grew up, you know, all the people on the East Coast, a lot of them would go down to, to Myrtle Beach, and Delaware and Rehoboth Beach and Bethany Beach and Ocean City, Maryland. And they would, you know, you'd rent a beach house or whatever. A bunch of your relatives would get together. And who wants to go to the grocery store? So HelloFresh can make it super easy. So again, you get 16 free meals. So we support them and they support us. Go to HelloFresh.com/redacted16. Use the code redacted16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. Again, HelloFresh.com/redacted16. Use the code redacted16 to get 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. So thank you. All right, some super chats to get to here on this Taco Tuesday, this Pork Carnitas Taco Tuesday.
Yes, we have some super chats. So get to see them all here.
And pizza. Oh, you got pizza. Pizza, take it away.
She's like being a little bit needy today.
And if those of you haven't seen Grover in a while, it's because we have a new puppy in this house named Chico, and Grover is with Chico most of the time.
They play together all the time now. It's a new little Jack Russell terrier, our brother and sister-in-law.
Oh my gosh, you got a Jack Russell?
They're playing together all the time.
He's wild.
Those are one of the most hyper dogs you can ever
get. That's what everybody says. I know.
I know.
He's a wacky dog.
I had a friend in high school that his family raised Jack Russells.
Sorry, let's hear Philip first. What were you saying?
Oh, no, I was saying I had a friend in high school that his family raised Jack Russell, so they had like 12 of them, and it was
Holy
just insanity.
Smokes. Yeah.
Yeah, see if you can pull up a picture of Chico while David
I don't know if I have one. Okay. But anyway. All right, let's do some super chats here.
Okay. Mike Sinatra, we already asked that one. Abel's Ann, Russia and Poland already have a deal to split Ukraine. There will be no more Ukraine.
I saw those chats, and she also, in a subsequent chat, said where she heard that. Her next
one was in Russian newspaper and on True News last night, Split Ukraine.
Well, I mean, we've talked about on this show in the past, of course, about Poland and perhaps their intentions with the western part of Ukraine. So it would be interesting to see. I mean, look, if the West continues to push this proxy war in Ukraine, what's going to happen is the total destruction of Ukraine. It's going to absolutely collapse, right? And it will be wiped off the map. And so what will be left will be territory that people will carve up, I guess, you know, and Poland will want to make sure that its territory on the Western side is taken care of and protected. Poland's not going to want their borders going crazy, just like Russia didn't want their border going crazy on the eastern side of Ukraine. So absolutely the case.
JD Music Production, another WEF IMF puppet, Magdalena Anderson.
Oh, Magdalena Anderson, yeah.
Resident Evil Fan 98. Great Depression had food and only 2 billion people. This time there's 8 billion people and no food.
Did a lot of people have food during the Great Depression? I mean, I think feel like, you know, all the stories about people having, like, you know, the whole idea of, like, one chicken in every pot, right, was a famous, you know, a famous saying, right, which is we want to allow every family to have one chicken in every pot, right? So,
that's it.
Yeah, because no one had chicken, no one had meat, no one had protein. It was like you had a potato during the Great Depression. So people waiting in bread lines. So I don't know that there was an abundance of food.
And then we had Taro Man Harris and Mike Wazowski and Perry Smith with super stickers, as well as Jessica Perez. So thank you.
Thank you so much.
Mark Hill, Hunter facing a future accidental OD. Jamila A.S. Asfu, thank you so much, guys. Did great jobs.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This was a political ad. So, Philip, I don't know if you want to take this here in a second. Yeah, here it was. It was President Herbert Hoover's plan, a chicken for every pot. And it was a 1928 ad, chicken for every pot. So, yeah, there was not exactly a lot of food at that time. And not people.
Well, I remember the pictures of the bread lines and stuff. Like, that was a famous thing, too.
Yeah, yeah.
You say that was brought to you by the poultry industry, I'm sure. It was around that time that the food pyramid came to be as well.
Oh yes.
Vote for Hoover. Get a chicken in every pot. Interesting. Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. I know that's the cynicism of us doing this show. It's like, oh, so it sounds like it's a good campaign ad. Oh, but the poultry industry is probably behind it. You know, we're so, now we just assume, oh, the pharmaceutical industry is behind it. Then it was nascent, you know, it was just growing that.
Yeah.
Well, I was personally like this before I came to the show.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, okay. You get a pass.
Just me, Nicole, does VPN get around those internet restrictions our government wants to do? I mean, not if you're going to have accounts. You know, even if you're on a VPN, if you're going to use Facebook, you still have to give your information through the VPN. So, you know, it would still be tracked. I don't see how that would stop it unless you were doing like completely fake.
Well, they're going to track on Facebook, right? So they won't be able to necessarily track when you are going there, but whatever you post there will be public.
Because if you're logged into your own account,
right,
it wouldn't matter, right? What would matter is, of course,
right.
Yeah, just anonymized searches and anonymized data and not, you know, that sort of thing.
Then, yes, and what we're worried here is your ability to post freely on Twitter, right? And so whether you use a VPN to post on Twitter doesn't really matter. They're still reading the tweet.
Yeah.
And that was the last Super Chat.
Thank you so much.
Thanks to our folks in our chat. It's Peanut Butter Jelly Time. I love that screen name. Thank you. Ron LaChance is here. Tombstone is here. Resident Evil Fan, Never To Be Known, is here. Boom Shakalaka Lady. A lot of... I like Boom Shakalaka Lady.
Yeah.
Good to see all of you. Thank you guys so much for subscribing to the channel. We do this show every day at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Thursday. We don't have a Friday show for our sanity. It takes a lot for us to put this show together every day.
Okay. We can't end it yet, though, because we just hit 6,000 likes. I was going to say we need to get to 6,000. We did it. 6,000 likes.
Well, let's get to 7,000. We got 8,000 people watching.
So we'll show you a puppy for that. How about that? I just sent you pictures.
Do I have a Chico? You sent it to me text?
Chico
is his name, little Jack Russell.
B-I-N-G-O.
Chico is his name. Oh.
So, okay, here you go. Here's, you can't do it? Here's Grover, my Grover, playing with Chico. That's, so they, like, they.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, look at that little.
He's cute.
Oh, that's cute.
He is a pisser and a pooper.
But
he
I need to know who started that process. Like, who was the one that was like, I want that puppy, and then who was the one that was like, okay.
No, this is my sister's family's dog, and they live just near us, and so they're the ones who wanted the Jack Russell. I didn't want another dog, but and he stays with them, and you know, but him and Grover are always together, and since they live so close to us, they're Grover just, you know, he spends most of his time playing with Chico during the day, and then he comes back and
yeah,
he sleeps with Clayton like a lovey.
Yeah,
like that.
He sleeps like under my arm like a little lovey. He does. Like last night after the show, because we go to sleep, and they're like, you know, and he was like tucked right up under my arm, just yeah, with his head like sleeping here, like. Yeah.
Like a stuffed
animal. And you go to my kids' rooms, and they've got like stuffed animals, and I've got a real animal just under my arm.
You had to one up them.
Yeah, I know. So that's Grover and Chico. Chico and pizza and Grover.
62. And,
yeah. Thank you so much for all of your likes. You guys, we will see you tomorrow. I got to get out of this turtleneck. So we will see you tomorrow. That's the end.
That's going to be in the post show. It's going to be turtleneck removal time. So keep your cameras
that's
rolling.
That's going to be on the... Redacted.inc. If you want to see non-censored content.
Exactly. Go to redacted.inc. That's our private website where we can post non-censored content over there. You won't be doing that.
All right. No. Goodbye, everybody.
We'll post some Hunter Biden pics, though, for you. All right. We'll see you tomorrow, everyone. Bye.